sometimes in order to be able to see things more clearly, it's good to compare. Many things in life you can compare. And today we have two characters from the Bible, Peter and Judas. And maybe just put two events from their lives on the screen there. So let me read from Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 to 26. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" And then we jump into Luke 22, which will actually follow what we read in the discussion this morning. Luke 22, and this is about Judas now, another one of Jesus' disciples. "Now, the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. So he went his way and conferred with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money." Okay, next slide, please. Right, three things on the screen to look at. The first thing, you can identify in both passages. Jesus told Peter and his disciples that he must suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and the king. And if you look at Luke 22, you have the same thing going on in there in verse 2. "And the chief priests and the scribes saw how they might kill him." So the first thing to spot and to learn and to remind ourselves of is that all the powers in this world are against Christ. Even though they may claim to be religious or Christian, all the human authorities that have power in this world, ultimately, the bottom line is they're against Christ and will not give up their power. That is the world we live in. Next slide. If you look at the orange text now, and you look at the experience of Peter, and Peter tried to stop Jesus from talking about him dying on the cross. I don't want to hear that. No. Stop that now. And he tried to stop Jesus. And this is what Jesus said in response. But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." And if you look at chapter 22, and just as they finished their service of washing their feet, and they had bread and wine, Judas went away. Well, it says, "Then Satan entered Judas." So you can see that somebody is meddling here with things. It's fingers in all the pies, everything that's happening. Somebody is involved behind the scenes. With Judas, with Peter, the same person called Satan. So what do we learn from this? The story ends well for Peter, doesn't end so well for Judas. But still, what we learn from here is that all Christ followers, all of us, are influenced and affected by Satan. The best friend and the worst friend, both affected by Satan. Now, would you be able to recognize this? I'm talking about all of us, Peter, everybody. Can you feel Satan's claws around you, scratching you like a cat scratches you, irritating your skin every day? Do you sense that you're in trouble? Can you see that? If not, perhaps time to book a visit with the spiritual specsavers. There is this evil being that is stronger, cleverer than you and me, provoking, pestering, tempting, attacking, manipulating every day. And that is why Christ, when he taught us how to pray, he said, deliver us from the evil one. And this is our daily prayer. This is our daily prayer he gave us. Perhaps you think, I'm all right. I mean, I can see all these other people around doing these terrible things in society. And perhaps we can construct a priority list of wrongs that some people may do, which we don't do. So it sort of makes us feel okay. We may feel that we are all right. But we are not all right. We are all in a desperate need of help and of deliverance. And if you don't feel this, if you don't have this need, what's the point in partaking of the bread and the wine? If you don't need it, what's the point of it all? If you think that we are all right, that other people are worse than us, or that we are better than other people, we rest in this illusion caused by our blindness, and all we do is just going through the form of religion, the empty form and ceremony, without really grabbing onto God's hand, grabbing onto the power that is higher than I, that is stronger than Satan. And I try to put myself in the shoes of these religious leaders. And I try to put myself in the shoes of the priests who served in the temple in Jerusalem on the day when Christ died. They heard the thunder and lightning, the commotion. They saw this supernatural darkness descend upon Jerusalem midday. And they saw that big, massive curtain in the temple in Jerusalem being torn from top to bottom. Torn from top to bottom. And the most holy place was laid bare. And they must have thought, what on earth? And they are not ignorant of Jesus and his claims. For in the previous 7 days, we are told that during the Passover week, Jesus was coming to the temple every single day, teaching, healing, and asserting his divine authority. And now, as he was hanging on the cross, all this weird, crazy stuff started happening. Curtain torn, the darkness, all confused. What do we do now? I don't know. Just do what we always do. Let's hum the religious song. Da, da, dee, dee, da, da. Let's do the sacrifices. Let's pray our usual prayers. Whilst doing all these rituals, they failed to notice that Elvis has left the building. The king has departed from his temple, never to step back into it again. How many times, if you read the scriptures, you will know this. How many times did God tell his people through the prophets, I don't need your ceremonies. I don't want your sacrifices. I don't want to hear your prayers and your songs. You treat each other like rubbish. And then you come to me with your offerings, your songs, your prayers, pretending everything is all right. That is not what I asked for. All I want is that you walk justly and that you show mercy to each other. Well, when we say things, mercy is not a common reaction, is it? God says, I'm not interested in your religion. Jesus said the same thing as he taught his disciples how to pray. When you pray, he says, don't bubble on in front of other people. You're not talking to people, you're talking to me. So when you pray, get into your room, shut the door closed, and pray in secret, and I will answer you. When you fast, don't put that miserable face on to make everyone think you're so holy. When you give offering, I'm not interested in public reports and tax records and receipts. Do it discreetly. If you're making noise and rattle in front of people, you will receive a reward from people, not from me. It is all just an empty, pointless act because you have failed to include me in your religion. This is what we see happening in Jerusalem amongst the religious leaders at this time. They have all the key ingredients of the religion. Just one thing missing was their God. If you and I really felt our weakness, if you and I really felt our brokenness, the sinfulness of our hearts, we would feel the need to run to God for deliverance every day. There would be no issue with us having just a form of religion, empty without substance. So what we learn from here, and we look at both at Peter and Judas, both Christ's best friend and his worst friend. We're all in the same situation. All of Christ's followers are influenced and affected by Satan. We all need God to deliver us every single day. And then the last point, the next slide, that should be in green. So I can see another similarity to compare here. In the first passage about Peter, Jesus says, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And then look at the passage about Judas. When the high priests and the authorities said they were glad, because they agreed to give Judas some money. So, profit, money, it's the same thing, isn't it? Profit, money, or the salvation of our soul? That is the question. What do we focus on, or what do we seek on a daily basis? And there are three things highlighted on the screen in different colors. Power, Satan, and profit or money. Power, Satan, profit or money. Just sums up this whole world and the experience we find ourselves in living this world. It sums it all up. The question is, where do our loyalties lie? Where are our hearts directed? Which direction? What is our first choice? The kingdom of God or this world? Now is a good time, as good time as any, to make the choice before we partake of the bread and the wine. If we don't feel the need, the genuine need inside, these will remain just empty symbols, empty Christless shells, bread and the wine. But if you feel the need for deliverance from the evil one, then we shall meet Christ in the bread and the wine. We will experience his presence, and he will remain with us, even on the days when you don't eat of the bread and the wine. As long as we seek him, as long as we seek him, he will remain with us. Let us remember this as we come together now for our communion service.